the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, we've heard this gospel many, many times, and it's so important because these are the words the Lord will say to all of us. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Master. God has given us talents. We all have abilities, and we need to work with these abilities. We need to use the talents that God has given us. We don't know how much he expects us to do. It would certainly be nice to double our talents, as we see there, the man with 5 talents, doubled them, got 5 more. We know the saints like Padre Pio and Saint Therese, some of the great saints of our time, probably quadrupled or who knows how many times they developed their talents. I like to think of 100-fold, 200-fold, 1,000-fold. Who knows the fruit that they brought forth in this world? Well, today we have Saint Antoninus, not really a household name here in our world, but in the 15th century in Florence. He was the Bishop of Florence. He was absolutely magnificent. Cosimo de' Medici, one of the famous of the famous Medici family, said that there was no other man who was more responsible for the flourishing of Florence than Saint Antoninus. He was truly a great bishop. And we see this in today's first reading. Behold the great priest, Ecce Sacerdos Magnus. Behold the great priest whom his like has not been seen. And his like has not been seen. Saint Antoninus did so much. From early youth, he was certainly set aside, very pious, very good, and so on, like a lot of young people we see growing up, that we know they're in their innocence that they are destined for something very special. And of course, this needs to be developed. And he entered the Dominican order at a young age and lived a very, very austere, abstemious life. He slept little at matins when they would wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning for matins in those days and chant the office. After it was over, he would stay up the rest of the night or the rest of the early, very early morning from 2 to 3, 4 o'clock and pray and write and read and study and so forth. He slept so little. He rarely ate meat, and he wore all kinds of penitential garments, a hair shirt, a girdle around his stomach, his waist, and so on. He was absolutely a marvel, and it was credit to him for, as I said, the progress of in the secular realm, in the temporal realm of Florence. Not just in the ecclesiastical realm of the church. The church flourished, of course, with this saintly bishop. But even the city, Cosimo de' Medici said it was the city that flourished because of him. God blessed the city because of this excellent bishop, and so on. We also know that he was at the Council of Florence, a very important council in the 15th century, called by Pope Eugenius IV, and this he promoted Catholic dogma against the various heretics. And this was the council that gave us repeated the decree that outside the church there is no salvation, that neither Jew nor heretic or schismatic will enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't hear about outside the church there is no salvation anymore. But it is a definitive Catholic doctrine. And Saint Antoninus was at that council, and he was instrumental in promoting the Catholic teachings and Catholic dogma. I'm sure he had a lot to say about that wonderful teaching that was given to us. We also know that he was helpful with various things. He observed religious discipline and he overcame idleness. I think I've said that already. And he was a great counselor to people. People went to him for help because of his virtuous life. He was very meek and patient and kind. And so they called him Antoninus the Counselor because he was so helpful to all those who came to him. So we rejoice in this wonderful bishop. And today we also celebrate two martyrs. We have a commemoration to Saint Gordian and Saint Apomachus. Saint Gordian is interesting because he was a magistrate, a judge. And when he was judging the Christians, instead of judging them under Julian the Apostate at the tail end of the Roman persecution, he went among the criminals himself because he was a Christian and he suffered martyrdom. When he was converted earlier, he brought his wife and all those in his household, the whole people who worked for him and who were slaves or whatever in his household, 53 in number. To me, that's a real Catholic Christian action, helping to convert all those people. What a marvelous example he was. And St. Apomachus was linked with him because at the same time his body was taken from Alexandria and brought to Rome, and they were buried together. And that's why we have St. Gordian and St. Apomachus commemorated today, which is a reminder also we should never take these martyrs for granted. How many thousands upon thousands of martyrs in the early church gave their lives for the faith. The Romans would kill them. In fact, St. Gordian, his head was taken, chopped off, put on a pike, and displayed by the gates of Rome for all to see. And the Christians took his head and buried it reverently. How cruel when you think about it, thinking that the heads on various pikes, spears, and so on are going to deter the Christians. If anything else, it encouraged them to see that other men were suffering so much, they were willing to suffer too. And so we too should be willing and hope to give our own lives for Jesus Christ, and especially in our own day when we see how we're being persecuted and hated. We know if we speak up for the truth and we say things, people are going to call us all kinds of things, enemy of the people. So we have to be praying for that now so that we would be like the martyrs. And we need to pray for holy bishops like Saint Antoninus in our church that would lead our church and bring down the blessings on our church. Behold a great priest, ecce sacerdos magnus. That's what we need. That should be on our lips, that God would send us great priests, great bishops, to lead the church during these difficult times. So let us also pray, and as we always do, the rosary during this month of May, as Our Lady has asked us in Fatima, to pray the Holy Rosary for our world. This is what Our Lady wants. And then she will make sure that we get the priests and the devout Catholics, Christians, that we need to get to help us in these difficult times. When she will, eventually, at the end, she promised, at the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. Let us pray for that as we approach the year 2017. Almost 100 years after she came at Fatima. In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. We will get the bishops and we will get the priests and we will get the heroic lay people that we deserve because Our Lady will bring us this great grace. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Christus.